This episode of The Gendernaut is brought to you by Beer 52, the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club.
I feel somewhat apprehensive this morning. What I want from this group is really to explore a few things, if it's possible. Greatest fear right now is I'm never going to work again, and I'll be poor as a consequence.
That's a man who goes to a men's group.
We're talking about men's groups and if they can provide men with the support they need on this episode of The Gendernaut, the podcast where we untangle the new masculinity and femininity. We're your hosts. I'm Anastran Tavakoli-Farr, but you can call me Naz.
And I'm Jonathan Freeman. I'm stuck at the library, so this week we'll have a guest co-host, Johnny Blackwell.
And I'm Johnny Blackwell, and we're delving into men's groups.
And I would say abandonment and humiliation are the two things that run boys and men.
Hello, welcome. If you're new, I'll give you a rundown. In this podcast, we try to figure out gender roles for the modern era. So we take a question or dilemma around gender and see if we can figure it out and maybe even come to a conclusion of sorts. I'm Naz. I'm a journalist here in London. And our co-host Jonathan is in DC and he's busy finishing off his PhD. So he's stuck in a library for now. So one of our co-producers, Johnny Blackwell, is joining us for this episode. How's it going?
Hey, Naz. Yeah, it's going pretty well. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to be talking about men's groups and if they provide the emotional support that men need.
I feel like this is a topic that keeps coming up.
Yeah, I'm really into this topic. This is like one of the most interesting topics we covered on the podcast.
Okay, awesome. We're going to look at men's groups and if they can provide men with the support they need. We're going to do that in a second. Also, Jonathan did send us a voice memo, even though he's stuck in the library. We've got some of his thoughts on the topic, so we're going to hear that in a minute. And we'll also have an episode with our other co-producer, Sam Baker, soon too. But first, here is a message from our sponsor, Beer 52. Beer 52 is the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club. Now, if you're one of our listeners in the UK, how would you like a free case of craft beer? Because we'd like to thank you for being a listener with the help of our friends at Beer 52. Beer 52 search the world for exclusive small batch craft beers and then bring these to their members. Each month they focus on a new country or theme and have introduced members to incredible craft beers from Belgium, California, Amsterdam and Norway. By signing up now, you can try a case of their current special for free. That's 8 of Britain's best craft beers as part of their Summer Bangers special. All you need to do is pay £2.95 for postage. Head over to beer52.com/gender and remember to use the numbers 5 and 2. So that's beer52.com/gender to get a free case of 8 of Britain's best craft beers for free. Okay, so back to this episode. Before we start, I just wanted to go through a few quick notes. We were recently in Prospect magazine. We were in their recommend section, which was pretty fun. We were there next to podcasts with Eddie Mair and Misha Glenny, so I was quite excited.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive names, aren't they?
Yeah. So we were named one of their 3 podcasts to check out this summer, which is really cool. So thanks to Prospect for that. I also want to talk about our last episode with Erica Berger. It was about friends and love, whether our friends can help us find love. So she is the journalist who sent an email to 700 of her friends asking them if they could set her up on a date. And some of you have been in touch about it.
Yeah, and as we all want to know, did she get a date out of it? Did her friend set her up?
So she went on 6 dates as a result of that email. And also she said that some of the people who received the email, they arranged a gathering, and she met someone through the gathering, and they had a 7-month relationship.
Oh, that's a positive from it.
Yeah, definitely. So it did lead to a relationship. So yeah, that's the answer to that, because I do remember I forgot to ask Erica about all that because I was so interested in the process and stuff. And everyone's like, what happened? What happened? So that's on that. And the last note is about our recent episode on male shame. There have been a lot of messages and emails about this episode. So just to clarify again, it's a conversation that was initially meant to take place between our guest, Rob Candell, with him and Jonathan Freeman. I felt that way they could be more open with each other. You know, they could talk man to man. And yeah, maybe they could just open up a little bit more. So some men have been in touch about it. Thanks for sending us your thoughts. I really do think there are some conversations where it's hard for women to be present, and sometimes it's better for men to just chat on their own. Again, this is something that was stated at the start of that episode, which is also why I think this topic of men's groups is especially important and really powerful as well. So let's go into it. Can men's groups provide the emotional support that men need?
I think it's something that's really interesting, and I've really picked up on it as something we've covered before in the podcast. I found super interesting, but we've never had somebody go there. And you and Jonathan said, John, wouldn't it be cool if you went to a men's group and found out what they really are about and what people say there?
Because the topic comes up so much on this podcast, yeah. And it's always like this intrigue of like, what are these groups where everyone's transformed when yeah. they come so, out of them?
So I went to see if it would transform me.
So you've interviewed loads of people about this. And before we hear that, Jonathan Freeman sent us a voice memo.
Well, Naz, I just finished a good morning of dissertating, as we like to call it. Since I'm busy, I'm obviously not going to be doing the podcast this week, but I know you and Johnny are talking about men's groups. So I wanted to kind of like just give a couple of quick thoughts. Number one, never done a men's group, but again, I'm going to throw the challenge out to Johnny. If he wants to find a men's group for me to go to, I will go to it and I will happily comment and I will try to keep my cynical attitude of this to myself and politely and respectfully try to get something out of it. Again, Johnny, that is a challenge to you. If you want to find one, I will go to it after the dissertation. Anyway, the other thing, though, that I was thinking about, though, and certainly thinking about it because I just had dinner last night with a close friend, is that, you know, men, I think, we tend to have our intimate conversations more on a one-on-one basis and more kind of, I think, in the things that we almost don't say, like the connections that we have with one another. I think it's not necessarily always about expressing everything, but it's just about feeling understood and heard. And I think that tends to create a lot more support, I've found, necessarily than bearing all. But in fairness, this could be the entire part of the problem. So I hope you guys are having a great time in London. Missed you guys, and I will look forward to talking to you sometime in the next couple days. Bye.
Well, if Jonathan wants me to find a men's group for him, I'll be definitely doing that. So he's got that to look forward to after he's finished his dissertation.
I don't know if that sounds like a treat or not for him. So, like, one of the reasons why I'm interested to hear all of this is because I feel like you're quite good with your emotional life. And I feel like people come to you to discuss their stuff.
Yeah, I think to an extent, a lot of my male friends do come to me and talk about feelings because I think I'm just the kind of person that always has talked about feelings. They kind of know what they're getting with me in that sense.
So you're safe in that way?
Yeah.
So when I say safe, though, like that they can talk about it and you will be supportive. Like you're not going to, yeah. I don't know if guys mock each other or I don't know if they're unsympathetic. Like they know that they can have this chat and it will be fine.
Yeah, I'm not like a yes man. Like I'm not just going to agree with everything they tell me if I think in some way they're not like always in the right. But at the same time, I think I'm quite understanding and I really try and do my best for them.
But yeah. You don't get that back.
I don't think I do as such. No, and it's not like I want everyone to be like me. That's not what I'm going for. But I do think that men could be there more for each other than they are. And I feel like there is something about men being the same as each other and relating to each other, having the same problems. So there was this time in my life where I was about to graduate from uni and I was going for coffee with all my friends that I was going to not see again as like a statement of like, let's stay in touch. Every day for about 2 weeks, I went for coffee with one of my friends, a lot of them guys. And I think like six of them said the line to me, I've just told you something I've never told anyone before during these. And it was interesting because they were all opening up to me and saying stuff to me. They all said the same things over that period. Like all these guys had the same kind of problems and they were all opening up about the same things. I was like, if you guys just went away and spoke to each other, because a lot of them were friends with each other as well. It's like, go away and talk to each other.
Did you ever feel like being like, oh, you should talk to us? So like you're sitting there being like,
I thought, I didn't know what a men's group was then, but if I had, I'd have been like, guys, go start a men's group. Or I'd have started one myself.
So before we hear the interviews you've done, how do you find a men's group? Especially because sometimes men's groups get mistaken for men's rights groups, which are something completely different.
Well, there's a couple of things there. There's first of all, talking about feelings and going to counselling is seen as more of a female trait than a male trait. And it's been proven by the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy that women are more likely to go to counselling than men. Talking about feelings is something that men traditionally haven't done, but it's something that we're getting better towards. You know, there's been a lot of focus on male mental health recently, toxic masculinity, the masculinity crisis, and a lot of focus on male suicide because the Samaritans have found that it's the biggest cause of death for men under the age of 45. So there's a lot of kind of talk at the minute about this. And so I think there is a lot more attention coming on men's groups. What I found when you guys tasked me, you and Jonathan tasked me to go and find these groups, is I literally just Googled men's groups and top result was like meetup.com. And there were loads of groups there. And some of them were like personal development groups. Some of them were like business development groups where people, like men, could come together and help each other with business stuff. Or yeah, the personal development ones were kind of more like large group therapy in a way. Somebody described it as like AA, but for like feelings.
So who's the first person we're going to hear?
So we're going to hear from a few different people. The first one founded a men's group and is also a personal development consultant. And his name's Kenny Mamarella de Cruz, also known as the Man Whisperer. So I had a chat to Kenny about his group.
My private work started off as professional development, where I noticed that the businesses I was coaching and helping people launch, the people that spoke about their personal issues, their businesses did very well very quickly. The ones who put themselves out of the picture, their businesses struggled and it took a lot to push them into success. So then I realized that success comes from personal sharing and self-awareness. Meanwhile, with men's groups, where after running that business and being successful in all my dreams coming true, I decided to move to Fiji, as you do. I went away for about 5 years. I traveled a lot. I worked with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. I worked with elders in Fiji and whatever. I worked in Sydney for a few years, ran a natural health center, and I started running groups there. But they weren't men's groups. They were more like self-development community. Then when I came back to the UK, I found that most of my friends were addicts, whether it was to love, sex, drink, drugs, power, money, competition, whatever it was, they were just not available and it was quite toxic and there was nowhere to meet. Meanwhile, I'd been away for 5 years and they'd gone down one hole where I'd gone more into my adventure and finding out who I am in different situations. Cut a long story short, I got about a dozen to 18 of them together in my lounge and basically said, I need to be met at some depth. And I'm called to come partying and whatever with you as well, but I need to be met at some depth because all of this surface stuff isn't working for me. So I started this 16 years ago for my own needs. And then people got to hear about it. Total strangers got to hear about it. More and more people wanted it. So I had to take it out of my home and into premises. Then I had to give it structure. Now I'm running about a dozen groups a month and I'm training people to run their own groups so they can take it into their own communities. I'm looking at getting a documentary together, getting an app together, basically to pass it on. Because sadly, most men don't seem to have proper friends. A lot of men don't know how to communicate or how to hang out or what to do or even how not to be boys and how to be men. And then there are issues around isolation, addiction, colluding with things they don't believe in and not being true to themselves, mental health issues, suicide. There are so many issues that just kind of become normal. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not an option.
And why do you think it is? What is it, the difference between the men and the women here? Because women don't seem to have this toxic atmosphere.
Frogs and snails and puppy dogs' tails. That's what little boys are made of. So from being a boy, you're naughty, you're a problem, you're causing trouble, and you should behave. And good boys will second guess to behave so they are not abandoned and humiliated. And I would say abandonment and humiliation are the two things that run boys and men. So we're all trying to be good and not be told off or rebel. Plus, boys compete. Boys have testosterone. Testosterone is unruly. Well, actually, it's raw energy that needs to be focused and channeled. And sadly, there haven't been men, or there isn't a society, to show a man how to own his power and how to focus it. So it just gets messy.
Let's say I have an issue, sort of personal problem, and I want to approach a group of male friends. And I say, oh, I've got this problem that I'm really struggling with. And I, you know, it's really upsetting me.
Yeah.
With men, often the response is, oh, that really sucks. End of conversation. It's true. And with women, they'll be like, let's all go get lunch together and talk about it. And I find that my female friends, they'll take, if I have a personal problem, they'll take me out for lunch and we'd talk through it and we'd get somewhere. Why is it that men can't do that? And then they come to your groups.
Would it be fair to say that a lot of males can't do that? And I would say they're more the boys who are so busy surviving. In order for a man to meet you in your pain or your fear, he would have to meet himself in his pain and his fear. If he's not willing to go there, then he can't meet you. If he's too busy surviving, then he can't help you. Meanwhile, I would say a man is aware and in touch with his feminine side, which is feeling, collaborating, communicating. It's mature male energy, which includes the female, rather than immature male energy, which is just very often toxic and fearful. So for me, that's the difference between boys and men. And to be frank, I would say there are a lot of males around, there are a lot of boys around, but a man who can hold a space and be present and respond rather than react, not that many around. Also, men are used to fixing, not listening. But as soon as anyone's in pain, you're telling me because you want me to fix it. And the sooner I fix it, the sooner I'm good, and the sooner I'm out of pain because I've fixed you and you're out of pain. Where a man can sit in the pain and be with a person as they go through it without fixing, without stealing the lesson, without, you know, playing any of those games. And for me, there is a very strong distinction between a boy and a man. So I don't blame you, because most people that present as men are actually big boys making noise.
Yeah.
What I love about the groups as well, and you'll experience it when you come over, is irrespective of age or class or race or sexual orientation or anything, very quickly, we're all on the same side. There is no pecking order. There is no, we will fix you, or this is the way to be, or this is how to be in the in crowd. It's more as individuals getting to know who we are. And as soon as anyone has an issue, then everyone will share, this is how I failed with this issue, this is how I succeeded with this issue. So it's, here's my experience, rather than there, don't worry, have a drink, or this is how to fix it. So it's having the depth to sit with and share.
And what happens when you meet somebody who just won't go there, somebody who's not ready to go there? How do you meet them? Because clearly, I've encountered people that are clearly troubled. They clearly have a lot of work to do, but they have no interest in doing the work. They don't want to start. Yeah. And you might have met friends that are like that. Perhaps you've lost friends like that. How do you go about meeting their needs?
Their needs are for them to meet. And that's something very clear that we talk about in the groups, is everyone be aware of what your real need is. And it's not the drama in hand. It's what's the need behind this. And then own the need, rather than stating it so someone will save you. Own the need, state the need, and then see how this unfolds. And it can be frustrating when there are men who don't want to do their work, don't want to listen, they just want a quick fix or something on the surface. And it's fine for them to keep coming and coming, as long as they need to come, listen, understand who they are, more than anything, understand who they no longer need to be, and let that pass. And they might decide, and this has happened on many occasions, where men will show up and then leave for weeks, months, or even years, try this, try that, try and get their fixes, and then maybe come back and say, okay, I'm ready now. For me, there isn't a right way or a wrong way. It's more, what is true for you right now? And how do you wish to respond to what's going on? And I feel that everyone has a right to be whoever and however and wherever they are for as long as they want to be. It's their lives. There is no right or wrong way. But it's nice to be available, not just me, but the other men in the groups, to meet people and meet themselves and their own fears in this person. I know what it's like to dig my heels in and say, I am not shifting. I will not be vulnerable. Nothing is going to touch me. Why isn't everyone buying my act? How rude.
So Kenny actually provided me with some audio of one of his groups. And this is really rare because generally these groups are completely anonymous. You go in there, you say your stuff and you leave. And there's an agreement that what's said and what you hear in these groups never leaves the room. But some men volunteered to be recorded from his group. And yeah, we've been given access to this audio. So it's really unusual to hear what actually people talk about in these men's groups. Because one of the big things I had going into this is, what do they talk about? Mm. So I kind of got some snippets of this 3-hour meeting. And I kind of got some of the stuff that people talk about that you don't normally hear men talking about outside of these groups. So I'll play that to you now.
I feel somewhat apprehensive this morning. What I want from this group is really to explore a few things, if it's possible, to do around with social confidence in particular, if that comes up. Single, on the market, somewhat confused and somewhat scared. Greatest fear right now is I'm never going to work again and I'll be poor as a consequence. It's refreshing to come to these, you know, men speak and meet aware men, you know, not the ones who, I'm just so sick and tired of guys with shallow, oppressive views about things. Just a little lonely at times. Mm.
Feel hungover. And so you were out on the rest of last night.
I was, yeah.
Was it good?
Not really, no.
Why?
Because I don't like to drink a lot and don't like being under pressure to drink a lot. And yesterday was one of those nights where there was a lot, there were drinks just being ordered and almost force fed down me. So, so I don't like not having the choice. And yeah, I don't like people telling me to drink up and stuff like that. It's very boyish. So I do like to go out and socialise, but not with alcohol at the centre of everything.
Was it noisy and stuff as well?
Yeah, so the first bit was quite civilised, and then there was this loud music and people everywhere.
Did it get lit?
And it was past my bedtime. My greatest fear at the moment is getting through the day.
But I can honestly say that the worst thing, I don't know if you lot can relate to this, in my life is when I'm being withdrawn from by someone, especially now it would be my wife, in the past it might be mother, grandmother, godmother, but even if it's a best friend, being withdrawn from, that abandonment, that hurts. And if it happens, then the first thing to remember, I would say, is not to take it personally. And then the second thing is to communicate.
Doesn't that rule men? Needing to be one of the others. Not be humiliated, not be abandoned. It's normal for men to sell out in daily life to what the women expect and what other men expect and what work expects and what the community and the religion and the other football supporters and bigots and whoever it is.
So it's interesting listening to that, because a lot of what Kenny says is really familiar, especially what he was saying about humiliation and abandonment are a huge deal for men.
That is the one thing, during all the men's groups I went to, abandonment and humiliation were the big things that came up.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. And also because I think as a woman, when you deal with guys, often a lot of the defences that you get are to do with like not wanting to look embarrassed, not wanting to be abandoned. So it's kind of really interesting hearing that. We do have a cultural narrative of like, boys or like men are like kind of not great,
yeah,
and like, you know, women are saintly and stuff. So maybe, I don't know, if you're growing up with those messages. I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine, I feel like a lot of the women in his family used to talk quite negatively about men. It was less sort of like, you know, these individuals who happen to be men have behaved badly, but more like this is what men do. And I think that can be quite damaging. And also with the guy in the men's group who said his greatest fear is getting through the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty, woo, it's yeah. pretty heavy.
It might be because he was hungover.
So he just needs a good like sort of fry up or something.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so this is all about the power of men's groups, but tell me about the next guy you spoke to.
So the next guy I spoke to was Chad Howes. Now, he's a fitness and lifestyle blogger and host of the Man Up with Chad Howes podcast. When I was doing my research into men's groups, I was finding the phrase man up quite a lot. Some of the groups were sort of pro man up and some of them were less man up. And Chad's podcast is Man Up with Chad Howes. And I found an article he'd written about him and a mate had gone hiking with his 4-year-old godson. And he said, we went further than any 4-year-old should be able to go. And he was clearly struggling. He was whining. He was nearly in tears. We pushed him to his limit of a 4-year-old. And then we told him to man up. And then he made it further, became a man, and he went further and pushed himself. And he was like saying how powerful that was. And I was like, what is Chad going to think of men's groups? Like, what's his interpretation? Is he going to want to get round in a circle and chat about feelings? Or is he going to be like, these guys need a man up? So I had a chat to Chad and he had quite an interesting take on things. And there's quite a lot of talk at the minute about the masculinity crisis and what it is to be a man today. And I think a lot of men are quite confused as to where they quite stand in the world at the minute.
Yeah.
And there's also been quite a lot of focus, especially in England at the minute, on male mental health. There's been quite a lot of stats on male depression and male suicide.
Yeah.
What are the solutions, you know? How do we get men to kind of find themselves again?
Yeah, like, so if you look at the suicide rates is one that a lot of people automatically say that men need to talk about their feelings more. As a solution, but I think over the last 50 years, suicide rates have increased amongst men, and we're definitely pushing people to talk about their feelings more. Like, we're trying to push men to become more vulnerable, and as we're doing this more and more, the suicide rates are increasing. They're not going down. Talking about feelings, I think it puts just so much importance on feelings and emotions, and I don't think those are the most important things in the world. I think they're things that we can control, and we're putting feelings ahead of our ability to control them. I don't think the issue is talking about our depression more often. I think it's finding a meaning and a purpose in life. I don't think we should get men to talk about their feelings more. I think we do it enough. We've always done it enough. It's not as much as women, but we have our way of doing it. Young men being told that they're oppressors at a young age, being told that they're a part of a patriarchy, and then you grow up being told that you're a bad guy. And at some point, a lot of guys are just checking out. They're not being told how to be a positive influence as a man or what a man actually is. They're just told that masculinity is an oppressive thing. And a lot of guys are just checking out. And I don't think talking about feelings is a solution that is viable for men, because I think it's giving the feelings too much credence. I think men work better when we have something to work toward and when we have someone to provide for and someone to protect. I don't think men thrive when our feelings are put at the top of our hierarchy of what we should be worrying about. I do think that talking about feelings for guys has more of a detrimental impact than action and finding purpose. I think that is the main thing that guys should focus on. And then if you want to talk about your feelings, talk about your feelings. But I don't think it's really beneficial. I get the point of it, because you're trying to find the root of what's causing this depression. I totally understand that. But I think guys work better when we're talking about our goals, we're talking about what we're aspiring to achieve, we're talking about the dumb stuff that guys talk about. Man up doesn't mean shut up. It means you're not a victim. You know, you have control over your emotions. It's a call to action to be more than maybe what you're acting like in the moment. Man up does not mean shut up. Man up means you got to take care of what's going on. Like, if you've got depression, you got to take care of it. That's kind of manning up.
What would your ideal men's group be? How would you act?
I'd do something. I'd go hunting with a group of guys. I'd go fishing with a group of guys. Like, I used to box. Being in a boxing gym, you go for a beer after or whatever, and stuff always comes up. Guys talk about what's going on, and they bounce ideas off each other and stuff like that. But I don't think, like, sitting around in a circle, it's like you're pitying where you are. You're seeing everything as a curse rather than a challenge, or I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's empowering. Like, I think sometimes it magnifies issues that don't need to be magnified, you know, like it turns normal life problems into like life defying issues. I don't know, but if guys are getting a benefit from it, who am I to say, you know? So I don't think putting a quote unquote feminine solution on a masculine issue is the answer.
So I hate to admit this, but I quite liked Chad.
So I went into this conversation thinking me and Chad aren't going to agree, but there was something about him. I was like, maybe he's got a point. Maybe we do overthink things and make stuff out of things by talking about them too much. Maybe we do just need to sometimes just get on with things and just act.
Yeah, no, it's weird because sometimes when I talk to my therapist, I do wonder, is this just too much?
Yeah.
Like, should I just like stop ruminating over this? But what's weird though is because I think there's a difference between that thing of rumination and like not having been there in the first place. Because I think a lot of these men who probably come to these men's groups have actually never had these conversations from what you're telling me. It's like stuff they've never told anyone.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the conversations that men have in these men's groups, they've never said this stuff before. But also on that, I know what you mean. Like, I've definitely had some friends who don't talk about feelings as much as me. And I've always been very proud of myself that I'm trying to be self-aware and try and talk about things. And I try and not keep things in too much. But I've had some friends be like, Johnny, you just talk about feelings too much and it's tiring. Just live your life. And maybe they've got a point. Like,
you need to go hunting with Chad.
I think I do. I think I need to get into like boxing or something. Maybe I just need to like shut up and like get out there and do something.
That's what you need to do.
So obviously Chad wasn't a big fan of the concept of men's groups, but I spoke to somebody who'd been going to a men's group for about a year and it had really, really helped him. And it changed his life.
So I found this group and with some trepidation came to the first meeting. And I've been coming here for about a year and a half, and my own personal journey has sort of had the group in the background, not being accountable to them, but being accountable to myself in this space. So I always made a point that if I was coming here, I needed to be honest and open and vulnerable about every aspect of myself, otherwise there wasn't any point being here. And I've said things in this group that I don't think I've ever said to anybody else in front of complete strangers, and just let it be that, yeah.
And why do you feel the need to join a group rather than just talk to your friends or your relatives?
Firstly, I don't have many male friends, and the male friends I do have seem to be pretty tied up with their own stuff and not very open to talking about feelings. They're either very angry or they're very happy where they are and not really interested in opening that whole can of worms. Thanks very much. So, as I say, to me, it just seemed like a natural progression to find somewhere that I could talk. It wasn't a matter of coming here and going, okay, this is my space to really get everything off my chest. It was a matter of coming here and seeing what it was like, and then gradually being aware that you could open up, get help and give help, or get support and give support. What I found most about the group was simply this. Irrespective of people's backgrounds, ethnic origins, age, education, whatever it was, we were all very, very different, religiosity, everything. But there seemed to be a unifying theme, which is that we were all hurting, that we're all in some way broken, and we were experiencing exactly the same things, every single man.
How did the group help you?
The group helped me because it made me realize specifically how unhappy I was in my marriage. I'd always shied away from that. I didn't really want to think about it, didn't really want to talk about it. But it gave me space to actually express honestly how things were going. And it gave me the courage to have the conversations with my wife I needed to have. And at this point, we will be separating very shortly, and it's leading to divorce, which actually is very amicable and very agreeable between us. But without this group, I don't think, as I say, it's not that I'm accountable to the group in any way, because people change here all the time. I'm accountable to myself, but the group
gave me that courage and the space to have that self-awareness that I really needed to do something.
So I just got to notice something you said last time. You said sometimes you just want to be in a group out of context without any judgment, and you can't get that from friends and family.
Yeah. In my experience, I haven't been able to get that anywhere else because your friends know you. So even if you're able to speak to them or you're able to speak to a family member about your issues, there's always that. It's always coloured by 30, 40, 50 years of knowing who you are. It's not a matter of coming here and reinventing yourself. It's a matter of, I think, people seeing who you are more honestly. You can be more open. You can just be yourself. So there is, it's a different context. You know, you are just presenting yourself honestly and openly and with a vulnerability that perhaps you wouldn't expose to your family, because that will then persist, you know, once you've opened yourself up and perhaps been judged by your family. You won't be able to close that box again, but this is a safe space to do that.
So yeah, this guy had gone to a men's group and it made him realize that his marriage wasn't kind of what he thought it was, or wasn't what he wanted, and it allowed him to have the conversations with his wife that he'd really felt he needed to have. And I don't think he'd have been able to do that without this group. It had provided him with the support to live the life he'd wanted to live. And I don't think he even realised it before going to this group, how unhappy he was.
So you think he didn't even know there was problems in his marriage?
I think maybe they were there, but he didn't acknowledge or realise them or fully even think about them. It was going to the group which enabled him to have the conversations and have the realisations that allowed him to act. So I guess now he's living more the life he wants to be living, but I don't think he even knew what life he wanted to be living before going to the group, because he just didn't think it or talk about it.
Yeah, no, I want to hear more about this group.
Yeah, so this group was run by Rowan Andrews, who is a men's group coach and facilitator.
So I've been a business coach for the last 11 years, and in that time I've coached many men who have been, you know, who are CEOs of small and medium-sized businesses or running departments in corporates. Now we've often started by talking about business strategy, but really what's created the real shifts in the performance of those people and their businesses has been when we've got into the personal issues for them and unblocked the things that block them in their own lives. And once we've solved those problems, the business issues have suddenly been solved.
Are men's groups the solution to men and their feelings?
I think men's groups are part of the solution to helping men find their masculinity. And masculinity is in a real crisis at the moment, and it needs a solution. And I think this is one of the, or part of the solution. And I think that you know, men don't talk about their feelings to each other, and men's groups can provide that forum and safe space for them to do that. Because really, a lot of the problems around masculinity is about the problems of men not really having adequate role models to help them and initiate them into adulthood and manhood, and so they're holding on to a lot of problems and wounds from childhood and feelings that they've been taught to repress and survive life that way. But actually that's not really a healthy way of approaching life. So yes, I think dealing with feelings and talking about feelings is a very important thing, and men's groups are part of that solution for men.
And do you think men only join men's groups when they are in crisis?
I don't know. I think that's probably been the case previously, and certainly men that go into therapy probably go into therapy when they are at rock bottom in crisis. You know, they would rather kill themselves literally than go and sort out their problems and really look at what they really need to look at. But I think it's becoming a little bit more acceptable now for men to come to men's groups, and I think there's a curiosity about it. So I don't think men necessarily have to be in crisis, but they probably know deep down that there's something else in life that is available to them, and this provides a forum for them to explore who they might be in life.
And why should men talk about feelings?
Well, I think talking about feelings is a really important thing for men to do, because most of us have been conditioned not to talk about feelings. You know, when we were kids and we fell over, we were told not to cry, get up and get on with it. kind of thing. You know, the whole false idea around masculinity is that men are strong and women are weak, and that men have to man up and put up and shut up. And I think that teaches men to suppress their emotions and feelings. And actually, you know, I think the mark of masculinity is the man that can actually be vulnerable and be with his pain and vulnerability and expose it without collapsing into it, but really acknowledge it. So I think it's very important for men to talk about feelings, and it's part of the healing process, or healing the wounds from their past and childhood and so on.
And in your words, what is a men's group?
Well, the No More Mr. Nice Guy men's group is a group where it's a safe space, it's a confidential space for men to come in and talk about themselves, to inquire into who they are as men, to sit with like-minded men, to receive feedback, and to discover something about themselves that will help them grow as men. For me, that's really what a men's group is about, and that's the value of a men's group. One of the important things in this group is that men really get in touch with their pain. So it's not just about talking about their feelings, it's about getting in touch with their pain. And sometimes that's not a conscious thing. Their pain is not something they are actually conscious of. It's a subconscious thing. It's running in the background, but it's they're acting out from that place of pain. And what we provide in the No More Mr. Nice Guy group is a forum and some guidance to help men to get in touch with that pain and to heal that pain. Once that pain is healed, it's liberating.
Okay, so Johnny, after all of this, do you think men's groups can provide men with the emotional support they need?
I really do. I don't think they're for everyone. I will say that, first of all. I went to a couple and they covered some areas that I was like, actually, this is something that perhaps I would want to talk about, but not in a group environment.
Yeah, because I wonder this as well, right? I really hate any sort of opening up in a group. Even recently, right, I was in some session and it was a work-related thing.
Yeah.
And when they do that infamous, everyone go around and talk about one time that X happened, I like cringe, right? And like, I do not want to take part in group participation.
Yeah, I find it weird because I'm really happy to talk one-on-one with pretty much anyone. And I'll go there, you know, people I don't know, people I do know. I'm really happy to talk about feelings one-on-one. But when it was in front of a group, I like froze up. I was like, I don't want this. But it was so weird because there were these men there that were like, I've literally never talked about this stuff before with anyone. Saying it to like 15 other men.
Yeah.
They were just talking about this stuff in front of everyone. And I was like, how are you doing this to people you don't know?
You sound and look so outraged.
I'm not outraged. I think it was great because it was helping these guys. Like, it was really helping these men, but it just was not what I was used to. And it wasn't what they were used to, but they were loving it. And I was just a bit like, I just couldn't settle.
So I see a shrink, and that's a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
And I could never imagine talking about my personal stuff in a group setting. On the other hand, though, I like talking to one person, so I like the dynamic with a shrink. In some ways, that might be more intimidating. I don't know, because one on one can be quite intense. Maybe like you merge into the group, or like there's less of you talking.
Maybe it's an only child thing.
What, you and me being only children? We're like, I want all the attention. I want the full 50 minutes, right? I don't want to share it with anyone. And is it the fact that someone will raise one particular problem they're having and other people will start opening up on that? Because then I can see why a group dynamic would work.
Yeah. One thing that was great was men, they really related to each other. They really knew they had the same problems, and some of them were older. There was a real mix of ages, race, sexualities, and people related to each other. They said, I've had this situation and I think this translates, or I've been in that situation. This is how I dealt with it. This is what worked. This is what didn't. They really helped each other out, and they wanted to help each other out, and they weren't judging each other. There was a real sense of community and collaboration. And at the end of it, the one I went to with Rowan said, it's been great to share this space with you men. This is powerful. And actually, I was fully on board. I felt you know, a certain sense of hype. And I was like, yeah, like, this is great.
And with each session, I mean, is there sort of a theme or something? How do they start talking?
You go around the circle, you do your introductions, you kind of say how you're doing, and then people say how they're doing and kind of what's happened that week? What, you know, what's happened that's on their mind? And then there seems to be a theme often. Somebody says something and everyone's like, yeah, that's what's on my mind this week. And then through men relating to each other, there becomes a theme of the week. And yeah, that's sort of how it works.
Because this is interesting, because when you see a therapist, you just start talking,
yeah,
right? There isn't like a, I don't know, a agenda beforehand. So it's kind of similar. Someone just starts talking and then everyone else opens up.
So one of the things I found quite interesting was something that both Kenny and Rowan brought up, was that they've done business side of things, professional side of things, and they found that the men they worked with, and women as well, the ones that were open and would talk about their feelings were the ones that succeeded. And the ones that were closed off didn't do very well. I think this is really interesting because it shows why we want people to talk about feelings. It's not just something that, it's not just an agenda that you and I have to get everyone opening up. It's actually, there's evidence that professionally, being open in your personal life and being comfortable with yourself will help you in your career.
But that sounds a bit cynical to me. That's like a little bit like, for the sake of the economy, go to a men's group to like...
Maybe that's what we need. Maybe
for the sake of a better economy, maybe like go to a men's group.
To get a good Brexit, we need people going to men's groups.
I feel like you sound very masculine right now. Like, no, you should talk about your feelings so that you're like more productive at work.
And that's, I kind of want to know, why do you care about men's groups so much? Like, you're the one that brings them up a lot. You're kind of always saying, like, men's groups, men, I'm so into men's groups. Men should be relating to each other. Like, that's, yeah, why do you care about men's feelings so much?
I feel really invested in men's groups because I feel otherwise women have to do all this emotional labor. And something that comes up for women a lot, which I'm sure a lot of women will relate to, is that often a man will tell them loads of stuff and they're the only person that they've ever told, and the woman has to take on this big, heavy thing. And it can be a real burden on women as well. Actually, our compassion episode, I remember one of our guests, Lindsay Adler, she said this. She was saying how she's been in so many situations where a guy has been like, you're the only person I've ever told. And then it becomes this big secret and stuff. And also, like, I've dealt with quite a few guys who have had a lot going on. And while I have so much sympathy and it's great that they opened up and stuff, you can't just open up to one person. Do you know what I mean? It can be quite heavy on women because it's like, okay, someone clearly needs help and I'm the only person they've told, and they will feel really ashamed or upset or embarrassed if I tell anyone. And so it's really heavy on women. I mean, I'm not married, but I hear this from married women especially, where they're like, my husband only tells me and then that's it, and I have to deal with the whole thing. And it can be really difficult. And I really feel like if there was a sort of regular space where men got together on a regular basis and they let it out, things wouldn't accumulate to a point where like men are just lashing out, doing really hurtful things, just, you know, acting in an extreme way.
Exploding,
exactly. Exploding is exactly the word. And often exploding on an unsuspected woman. I think that's something that's very relatable to a lot of women. And which is kind of why I see men's groups as a bit of a feminist mission. And there's a lot of talk about men wanting to be good allies to women, to help out with feminism. And I honestly think if you want to be a good ally to women, go and get help for your emotional life. I think that's the best thing men can do to help women.
So men's groups, in your eyes, are a feminist mission?
Kind of, yeah. Men's groups, seeing a therapist, just like sorting out your inner life. I think that's one of the best thing you can do for the women in your life. Because then, yeah, it will be such a support to them. That's why I'm so invested in something that on the surface doesn't seem to be about me at all. But it kind of is. So. And also, I feel like it makes sense because at the end of the day, I have a different experience of the world.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how similar I am to a certain man, like, you know, I experience the world differently. I have a different biology.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just so many ways in which another guy might be able to relate better than I can.
You feel that however much you can try and relate to a man, you still are a woman in society and you can't quite understand how it is to be a man fully.
Yeah. And I also think it's good for men to have just like more than one person they tell their stuff to. It's good to like just get a range of support, which it sounds like is what they can get from these groups.
You heard about men's groups on this episode of The Gender Knot.
It was hosted by me. I'm Naz Jantavakurlifar, or Naz in short.
And it was hosted by me. I'm Johnny Blackwell. I also co-produce this podcast along with Sam Baker.
Jonathan Freeman will be back next week, and we'll talk to you then.